And glory to God, aren't you glad he's God and he has not changed? His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore here on the Success Radio Network. And we want to say welcome one to and welcome to all who have joined us tonight here on another Friday evening for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. First, welcoming our surrounding city and states, and our countries near as far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and at the end of the program, even be able to answer our question of the day. Amen. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get this show started off on the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, with the 56 countries and all the listeners that we have. We know that your word says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And Lord Jesus, we ask you now to take the wheel of this here program and have your way and your will, Lord Jesus. We first ask, Lord Jesus, that you would first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Success Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves, and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Success Radio Network.
If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's again K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry @gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy, and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you.
Started from humble beginnings in a basement, Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line, ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Groover takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1 Katie, KATIE, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's PayPal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will greatly, richly, honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there for sure. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us this day that might like to say howdy just before the main part of the program?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels. We have you, Jim, and me.
All right. Well, obviously, we don't have anyone with an open mic wishing to say hi, but we'll still give a little outline of where we're going today, just in case anyone's listening. Basically, what we're going to be talking about once again is angels in specific and the angel of the Lord specifically. And this is, of course, part two tonight on that topic. And then after we do that, of course, we have Emily come in. This is the second to last week that she'll be doing this, is the part where she does with the song and poem, does she get the good or bad buzzer? And now if she gets the bad buzzer, there is a chance that they have some sound effects that we may choose to use that may affect those with PTSD and other disorders. So we just want to warn people about that. And then after that, and we finish out our angel thing study tonight, then we have you come in, Ruth, with your Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us tonight?
We got the rapture winds. Of course, that's about the rapture of the church, the second coming.
Okay, that sounds like a pretty good, interesting topic, so we could stay tuned for that. The rapture winds, all right. And then from there, we open up the mics for everybody to answer our question of the day. Of course, you, our listeners, give your opinion. It's neither correct or incorrect with our question of the day. And then after that, then we close out with a word of prayer and our Red Zoline song to close out the evening. All right, so I think what we'll do, we'll get ready to rock and roll here and see exactly what the angel of the Lord, what we're going to learn about him. So get out your pad and pencil, and here we go.
Those of you called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, you'll be able to press the number 1, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your least favorite angel story in all of Scripture? What is your least favorite angels? What is your least favorite angel story in all of Scripture? Amen. But right now we're going to get into our topic of angels, in specific, the angel of the Lord, part 2. And our next scripture context is found in Judges chapter 5, verses 22 to 27. Judges chapter 5, verses 22 to 27. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Then were the horse's hoofs broken by the means of the prancings and prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye, Moroz, said the angel of the Lord, curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed. He fell. He lay down. At her feet he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead.
And here we don't find much about the angel of the Lord telling much, other than to do something about this horse prancing here. But mainly, the main topic in this is we find about Jael's wife, what she was to do, and praising her over her victory over this king, because she was willing to take the nails tent, the hair, one of the nails that was for the tent, and she smote off this king's head by putting it through his temples. Amen. And it was a victory for Israel because of that. All right. And our next scripture context is found in Judges chapter 6, verses 1 to 24. Judges chapter 6, verses 1 to 24. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because the Midianites and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave out their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then shew me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites.
And here we find the angel of the Lord telling Gideon of his calling to go to deliver the children of Israel. And so that was the angel of the Lord's message to Gideon. All right. And now our next scripture context is found in Judges 13, 1 to 23. Judges chapter 13, verses 1 to 23. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and shewed her husband and said unto him, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that spaketh unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now, let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, oh, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither shall her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why hast thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would we have shewed us all, or he should have shewed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these.
And here we find the angel of the Lord going to talk to the parents of who will eventually be Samson, and telling them how to order and how to prepare to raise the child. And you notice how he says who he is. He says, Are you the one that came to meet with the woman and talk with her? He didn't say, well, he didn't just say yes. He didn't say, yes, I was. He didn't say, I did. He said, I am one of the names of God the Father. Once again, the angel of the Lord is God the Father. Once again, the identity of God the Father, verse 11 in this text. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 10 to 19. 2 Samuel 24, verses 10 to 19. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David's heart smote him after that. He had numbered the people, and David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David, told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months for thine enemies while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Thou advise and see what manner I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now unto the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, It is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Araunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded.
And here we find the story, of course, of David, where he numbered the people when he wasn't supposed to. And, of course, the angel of the Lord sending the pestilence and destroying of the people. And David getting the threshing floor so he can stay the hand of the Lord by giving a sacrifice. And, of course, we know now, as we've studied with Ruth's Bible prophecy, that threshing floor ends up being the up along where the temple ended up being. Amen. So, all right. And our next scripture context is found in 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 to 8. 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 8. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal now how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey unto the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said, Arise, says unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God.
And here we find even, yes, Elijah, as much a man of God as he was, got depressed. Yep, what happened was Jezebel, after the Mount Carmel experience, where Elijah fought all those prophets of Baal and won, Elijah gets threatened by Jezebel, saying that she's going to take his life, and so he flees for his life. And now he's saying, Lord, basically, I wish I were dead. And so God feeds him by having the angel of the Lord come to him, providing meat and drink. Amen. Under this juniper tree. Amen. All right. And our last scripture context for before Emily has to guess our message and song and poem is found in 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. 2 Kings 1, verses 1 through 18. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahijah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go, inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I should recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. When the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, Why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, There came a man up to greet us, and said unto us, Go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And he said unto them, What manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And he answered him, He was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, It is Elijah the Tishbite. And the king said unto a captain of 50 with his 50, and went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. And he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. There came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he said unto another captain of 50 with his 50. And he said, answered and said unto him, O men of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be in the hand of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God come down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the 50 with his 50, and the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken, and Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel?
And here we find this guy inquiring of Beelzebub, and which was a false god. And Elijah says, hey, you're not coming down off that bed on which you went up. But where did he get this message? From the angel of the Lord. And so that's what we find. All right, and what do we find so far tonight? That, yes, once again, the identity of the angel of the Lord, he is God the Father, the great I Am. And later, as many people know, Jesus said he is the I Am, too. So, that's interesting. So, the angel of the Lord is the I Am. So we now know that the angel of the Lord is the I Am, the Father, the one who is in the burning bush. Amen. And he comes to bring messages to certain people. Amen. So now it's that time. It's down to the last, second to last week where Emily does this, where she is going to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Father, then brag about his son.
It's just a good thing God above has never gone on strike because he wasn't treated fair or things he didn't like. If he had ever once sat down and said, that's it, I'm through. I've had enough of those on earth, so this is what I'll do. I'll give my orders to the sun, cut off your heat supply, and to the moon, give no more light, and run those oceans dry. Then, just to make it tough and put the pressure on, turn off the air and oxygen till every breath is gone. Do you know he'd be justified if fairness were the game? For no one has been more abused or treated with disdain than God. And yet, he carries on supplying you and me with all the favors of his grace and everything for free. Men say they want a better deal and go so on strike, they go. What a deal we've given God, to whom everything we owe. We don't care who we hurt or harm to gain the things we like, but what a mess we'd all be in if God should go on strike.
All right, Emily, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
I believe the message between that song and the poem is talking about respecting God.
Well, in this case, you're 100% right. If you want to please the Father, you respect him. That way, he don't go on strike. Amen.
Well, I guess this week the buzzer gets saved because I can't blame my shooting. And that'll keep my butt out of the woodshed.
Not to mention the second to last time you do this, you're going out with a royal bang with keeping yourself from having to go to the woodshed. So we got one more week to go, Emily. We'll see how you do. Amen. Right?
Yep. See if I can keep myself out of the woodshed next week too, huh?
For sure, for sure. And right now, we're going to pause to hear about the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Now that we're back, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, especially at the end of our broadcast, and be able to answer our question of the day. What is your least favorite angel story of all scripture? What is your least favorite angel story in all of scripture? Amen. But right now we're going to get back into our main topic of angels, in specific the Angel of the Lord, Part 2. And our next scripture context is found in 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 32 to 35. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 32 to 35. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass at night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses.
And here we find another aspect of the angel of the Lord. He's a person of war because he killed off the Assyrians to protect the city of David. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 9 to 30. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 9 to 30. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Choose thee either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall down unto the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld. And he repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed, It is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is it not that I have commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed, but as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up, saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David, his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it to me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, Nay, but I will really buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 sickles of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire by the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again, into the sheaf thereof. At that time when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there for the tabernacle of the Lord which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord.
And here we find, of course, as we did before the break, the same context about David numbering the people, having the plague, and then having to get the place of sacrifice to stay the plague. And it was the angel of the Lord who was the one doing the plague and the smiting. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Psalms 34, verses 1 through 8. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 8. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Okay, furthermore, Elihu answered and said, "Hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words as a mouth tasted meat. Let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job had said, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right, my wound is incurable without transgression."
Ruth, I think you're on the wrong spot. We're looking for Psalms 34, 1 through 8. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8.
"I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her voice in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name for together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him."
Although Job 34 was good, Ruthie, it's a lot better in Psalms where we had to be. As we could see, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fears him and delivers them. Amen. And that's a good point to be always thinking about, as we already now have discovered that the angel of the Lord is the great I Am. Amen. Who is the Father. Amen. So he encamps around about you when you need it. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in Psalms 35, verses 1 through 8. Psalms 35, verses 1 through 8. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
"Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that airy destruction let him fall."
And here you could see the psalmist is asking God to have the angel of the Lord do some stuff to his enemies, to take them basically out of the way. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in Isaiah chapter 37, verses 33 through verse 36, Isaiah chapter 37, verses 33 through 36. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
"Therefore, thus saith the Lord, concerning the king of Assyria, He shall not come unto this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor pass the bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city, to save it for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. Yeah, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses.
And once again, we find another scripture context talking about the angel of the Lord destroying amongst the Assyrians. Amen. And our last scripture context of the day is found in Zechariah chapter 1, verses 7 through 20. Zechariah 1, verses 7 through 20. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sabbath, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom. And behind him were their red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angels that talked with me said unto me, I will shew thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we've walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. And the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that came in with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord shewed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And it spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, and it's so no man shall lift up his head, but these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it.
And you gave us one extra verse there, Ruthie, but that's okay. Good to have extra Bible. And so what did we find out? We find here that the angel of the Lord is bringing a message. So what do we find out all night long? First off, that the angel of the Lord is God the Father, the great I Am. We find out that the angel of the Lord brings a message, brings deliverance, or brings war, and is an angel of war. Amen. All right. But now I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your least favorite angel story in all of Scripture? What is your least favorite angel story in all of Scripture? Amen. But right now we're going to pause for a little station ID and to pay a few bills, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Started from humble beginnings in a basement, Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line, ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Trucking of Astabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Astabula. Blind Trucking of Astabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Can't wait. Love you. Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Astabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Among us, and many so far away, having war and death. decimation. Nation rising against nation. Trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood. Sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder creep in sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. This world is gonna burn.
Rapture wins. Bible says, in the last days, men will be moved to and fro by various and ever-changing winds of doctrine. We want to examine the rapture because there is a trend in theological circles that teach the church is going into the tribulation period, maybe halfway, maybe three-quarters, maybe all the way. It just depends upon the theologian as to how he has been taught or trained as a special unction he has received from on high. But let's read the scriptures. This was written by the Apostle Paul in the first century A.D. scripture. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 18 in your King James Version Bible. This is Paul's description of what we commonly refer to as the rapture of the church. There's hardly a week going by that a particular piece of publication doesn't come across our desk, whether it's in a pamphlet or a news article for one of the so-called religious magazines, saying in so many words, "Now at last we've discovered the truth about the rapture." Well, the Bible teaches there's coming a time when Jesus Christ will leave heaven to oversee the rapture. He's presently up in heaven, as you well know, sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's a mediator between God and man. He's up there to plead our cause. There's a constant courtroom drama going on in heaven because the Bible tells us in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, Satan is the accuser of the brethren for God day and night. When we sin, we are accused by the evil one, and Christ is there to plead his blood over our sins. He is the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 2 and verse 2. He's going to leave heaven temporarily one of these days. The Bible says he's going to descend partway between heaven and earth. A shout will be given, and the believers who have died, laid down their armors of clay, their physical bodies are going to be awakened from their slumber because their spirits and their souls will come from heaven, go back into those bodies, and those bodies will come alive. The Apostle Paul instructs us in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 52, that we'll all be changed together and caught up. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, which we read earlier, that we were alive and remain, indicating some believers will not die, will still be living at the time of the rapture of the church, will be caught up together with them, those who have died, and who have had their souls and spirits go back into their bodies. We shall be caught up together with them after we're all changed to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what we scripturally refer to as the rapture of the church. Although the word rapture does not appear in scripture now, yet in the word Christians have coined to fit the situation because it will be a time of tremendous exhilarating joy when these physical bodies made out of the dirt of the earth drop off this clay resemblance and we take on the form of a glorified body and we go up into the clouds to meet with Jesus to go to the judgment of our works later into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, the theological experts are telling us, don't look for that. Don't get excited about that, because before they take place, we're going to go into the tribulation period. We're going to have to suffer the 70th week of Daniel. Church will have to endure during that persecution. Who is the church? Well, is the church the building sitting on the corner of Maple and Main Streets? Who constitutes the church? It tells us in the book of Ephesians relative to the church. Now, here it is. For grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The church is made up of many individuals who have come to the place where they realize that within themselves they are nothing. We come to God in the act of repentance, and we admit that we are wrong, we have sinned, we're on our way to hell, we are unproductive as far as God is concerned. We come to God and ask him for forgiveness, to save us, and we are saved. That something miraculous happens to the individual's life that cannot be explained physically, but it can be explained spiritually. In the writings of John the Apostle, Jesus Christ had an encounter with a man with whom we are familiar, a man by the name of Nicodemus. Jesus answered Nicodemus with these words, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into or see the kingdom of God." That's John 3, 5. John's gospel records it. It's an actual narrative. It's a conversation which went on in between Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus further said, "You must be born again." John 3, 7, and that's in the King James Version Bible. We who are born again have become members of the body of Christ. I can't explain the details of new birth, but I stand as a testimony of the effects that new birth can produce in a woman's life or anyone's life. In one of Paul's writings, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Once you experience new birth, you can't understand it. You cannot explain it, but it's a whole new way of life. It's something different. It's something of a fanatic power, something which actually works. It makes a virtuous woman out of a harlot. It makes a thief and makes him an honest, upright man. an irreverent profaner, and makes him a speaker of the Word of God. Please note that it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is part of the divine process of becoming a Christian, a born-again believer. Here's the scripture, for by one Spirit, notice that the word Spirit is capital S, indicating the Spirit, third person of the triune Godhead, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The body is not one member, but many. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14 in your KJV Bible. Then Paul proceeds to talk about the foot, the ear, the eye, the body. Once we come to the place where we're willing to admit we're wrong, we are unrighteous because our righteousness is as filthy rags. Once we come to the place that we're willing to admit that grievous condition, that we are forgiven of our sins, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There are two books, the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life. We're saved by faith. We're baptized in spirit into the body of Christ, and we become members of the body of Christ. There's not one verse of scripture anywhere in the pages of this inspired Bible that says anything about reversing that blood atonement process. I'm establishing the fact that if you are a member of the body of Christ, you're a member of the church. The reason for this explanation, because some theologians are talking about the church going through the tribulation period. They don't know the difference between being born again and a person off the street who comes in and joins a local church. They may have a case. Because once the church leaves this earth, then those who are professors and not possessors are left behind and they go into the tribulation period because they were not born again, not members of the body. I'm drawing a thin biblical line and we're determining for our benefit who's the church. I'm a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. My life is an example. I have the witness, within and without. Let's follow this argument just a little more in detail. Daniel the prophet, actually he was a teenager when this whole story begins. Powerful King Nebuchadnezzar came from Babylon some 400 miles to the east and attacked the city of Jerusalem. He took certain Hebrew young men who had tremendous countenance and great probabilities for being intellectuals down to Babylon to train them in the protocol of the Babylonian government. Daniel the teenager was one of these. Daniel had a number of opportunities to prove genuinely that he was of God. He stood for his God under tremendously trying circumstances and came out true blue every time. When we come to the ninth chapter of the book of Daniel, the prophet is an old man. He's an adult, ripened, seasoned man. Daniel has had visions in the seventh chapter and in the eighth chapters of the book bearing his name relative to end time circumstances, which opened up the door of understanding to the book of Revelation. Daniel is pondering the issues because he's interested in the Jews, his people, so God sends an angel down from heaven to the city of Babylon, an angel by the name of Gabriel. This verse of scripture is actually what the angel from God said to Daniel the man. It needs so very little interpretation, just plain reading. Here's the scripture, 70 weeks. 70 weeks of what? The angel is talking about a series of years. A week means seven. A week of apples, a week of cars, a week of wives. But God help you under those circumstances. He's talking about weeks of years, and if you're a Bible student of any degree, you know this. 70 weeks, 70 weeks of years, 70 times 7 equals 490 years. 70 weeks of years are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, Daniel 9:24, KJV. You'll note there's no mentioning of the church. This message was delivered by Gabriel almost 560 to 575 years before the church was ever born. The church is not mentioned until we come to the New Testament. Please note very carefully, 70 weeks of years are determined upon thy people, Jews, and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem. You can check this in history. Go to your library and ask the librarian for books that he will or she will have on hand that will go back to the time of the end of the Babylonian captivity of the Jews about 535 B.C. or before Christ. Those books will show how long it took to rebuild the city of Jerusalem when Cyrus of Persia, a king, sent a workforce of 50,000 Jews back to Jerusalem. History tells us it required 49 years to do it. Furthermore, history reveals that from the time the city was rebuilt, requiring 49 years until Jesus Christ came riding into Jerusalem, later to be crucified, it took a period of 434 years and the Messiah would be cut off or crucified, as it tells us in verse 26 of Daniel chapter 9. When you add the 49 years and the 434 years, a total of 483 years, subtracted from the original 490 years, leaves a seven-year period which has never been visited upon thy people and thy holy city. May I ask you a simple question? Why drag the church into this? Church is not involved in any way. What's the point? What are you trying to accomplish? John on the Isle of Patmos had a vision. It's all recorded in the book of Revelation. John saw things. There were existing things that were in the future, and John looked down through some 3,000 years of time, even to the culmination of this earth's physical properties, when it is to be destroyed by the renovating fire of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, and he even saw a new earth being brought into existence. Among some of the things that John saw, which are very interesting, especially to the members of the body of Christ, is that John saw seven churches. He saw seven distinct churches, was told to write the vision and send letters to the pastors of these seven churches. It's my belief, and I'm in the minority, that there are actually seven churches in Western Turkey which have a similitude to these churches in the vision. The pathway of the born-again Holy Spirit baptized believers from the time the church was brought into existence until the church is raptured is all laid out in the second and third chapters of the book of Revelation, because we have a record of the seven churches of Revelation. The first five churches are history. The body of believers are now in that we call the Philadelphia Church. There's coming after us a seventh church known as the Laodicean Church. The Laodicean Church will be ecumenical church. It will be the one world church. The Bible says in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, beginning with verse 14, it is the church which has no need for God, because the seventh church has everything. This church says we're not for God, neither are we against him. We're just going on our happy, merry way playing church. We can see this taking place today. We're being formed within the confines of an ecclesiastical framework, a church which is willing to disregard the Bible, disregard the doctrines of the Bible. Don't separate yourself from anything, but join everything. We see a church forming and coming into existence known as the Ecumenical Church, getting ready to take over the ecclesiastical position of the church once the Philadelphia Church goes. It will be that church, the Laodicean Church, which will be in the tribulation period. It's that church which God says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God isn't going to spew the born-again Philadelphia Church out of his mouth. That would be contrary to God's word. Of all the seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, only one of them has the promise of being translated. Read that section of scripture about the first five churches, beginning with the church at Ephesus, secondly Smyrna, which is now Izmir, Turkey, Pergamos, Thyatira, and Sardis. There isn't any promise of those five churches of being raptured or translated. Also, there's no promise of the seventh church being translated or raptured. But the sixth church, we have a written promise by the Holy Spirit revealed to John on Patmos that the sixth church will be translated, taken out before the tribulation. Let's look at the sixth church and see what the scripture says. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the king of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, Church of Philadelphia, born again believers. Hold, I have set before thee an open door. Revelation 3, 7 through 8, KJV. This verse is not talking about Christ being the open door. Christ was and is the open door of salvation for all seven churches. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John 10, 9. That's to all seven, because even when we come to the Laodicean Church, which will be here on the earth during the tribulation period, you find that Christ is outside that church. Christ is never inside the Laodicean Church. He's outside, because it tells us very plainly, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Revelation 3:20. Christ is outside the Laodicean Church, but he's inside the Philadelphia Church, because he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's Matthew 18 and verse 20. He's in the Philadelphia Church. If you are truly born of the Spirit of God, baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, Jesus Christ is in you. But to the Laodicean Church, he's outside. He's saying to the Philadelphia church, I set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Nobody can keep you from going in the rapture, even death itself. Paul bears this out in 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17. Nothing can keep you from going in the rapture. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. Philadelphia church is in the minority today. The true born-again Holy Spirit body of Christ is in the minority. Lots of people professing, but it gets down to the nitty-gritty, and the work has to be done for God. There are just a few in the army, not many, very many, and he has kept my word and has not denied my name. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, because you have been patient with my word for 43 years, we've been working together. I started in a little tiny white Baptist church, about 75 members, back in the hills of Tennessee. I've been doing the same thing, been preaching the same message. I have some of the original outlines. Now I've gotten to the place where I don't need the outline because I have it all in my heart and head. I haven't changed my message. People say to me, oh, what you said, that's terrific. I was saying it 43 years ago to a few people. People respect you as you get a little bit older, and they think, well, he should know a little bit more. Well, in my case, I learned it from studying. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, because we're patient with the word, don't get discouraged. Don't look for cobs. Don't look for the plaudits of men. Don't get excited if nobody compliments you. Just keep right in there and just keep trotting on down the road, doing the same thing, knowing that God's eye is upon you, his ear is open unto your cry, and he will reward you on the day of rewards. I also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Well, Sister Ruth, that means whenever you're tempted, Jesus will step in and help you. I know that. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. God will help us under all circumstances. He's promised to do that. This isn't talking about an individual temptation or an individual tribulation. This 10th verse of Scripture is talking about a universal situation because it says, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's Revelation 3:10 in your KJV Bible. That remaining 7 years of tribulation Gabriel told Daniel about in Daniel 9:27 has never come upon the earth, but it will be visited in the days of future tribulation. As soon as the church is raptured, it will be visited upon earth. We are to keep kept from that hour because we have the promise of the open door, and we're going to be kept from the tribulation, go yonder into the heavens to the judgment of our works. After all spots and wrinkles are cleaned and ironed out of the wedding garment, then we go into the marriage supper, and the honeymoon chamber is shut up. And we're there with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years prior to his second advent to the earth when he will judge the nations of this earth. Matthew 25:31-46 in your King James Version Bible. There's nothing in the prophetic plan of God for a shift in the rapture wind except those who are going off after something more popular. God's word never changes. It's always the same. Every generation can preach the same as I'm teaching you because the word is the same. We just know a little bit more year by year, century by century. Circumstances in history prove that out. With the following section of Scripture, I will summarize and conclude this particular lesson. Scripture. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They should believe the Antichrist, except the Antichrist, that they will all might be damned or judged who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12. In this portion of Scripture, we have a situation that is to be fulfilled after the Jews and unbelievers go into the tribulation period. This situation is to prevail upon everybody on the earth during the tribulation period. This is saying from the pen of Paul that because the people who will inhabit the earth during the tribulation period are all non-believers, and because they refused the gospel, because they refused to adhere to the gospel message, because they repented not of their sins, because they turned their backs upon Jesus Christ, because they had nothing to do with the gospel, God says, I will send them all a strong delusion. A penetrating spiritual influence of evil will come upon the people, and they will believe the lie. The world will accept the Antichrist, and the people will be plunged into a period of 7 years of trouble, the like of which this world has never experienced. Here's your scripture. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Matthew 24:21, KJV. That's what the world is heading into, just as fast as it can go. A man of importance in the government of the United States made the statement within recent months of the writing of this book that by the year 2000, America will be completely socialistic. Well, how about 2021 is what we're in now, and it's likely close. This statement was further confirmed by a still more important man of greater stature in the government of this nation. We're heading down a one-world government road as fast as we can go toward a complete socialistic state. The Philadelphia Church has been in existence for about 300 years. We're living in the last days. We're really not looking for Antichrist. We're not looking for tribulation. We're not looking for some satanic miracle. We're not looking for a politician who's going to revise the scope of the economy, put us back on easy street, as it were. We're looking for the King of Glory to come from the heavenly portals and change these dirt bodies, these temporary bodies, into eternal bodies and take us into the heavenlies. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. That's what church is all about. Church isn't just for us to dress up on Sunday and get away from life for a little while and hear some good music and some fellow rant and rave about the Bible and go out to a good restaurant in the afternoon. That's not what it's all about. Church is to help you get ready to live the eternal life that you might not stumble down the highway of life blindly and ignorantly, not knowing what God wants of you and what God demands of you, what he expects of you, that you might come to the place where you repent of your sins and say, woe is me, I'm vile and I'm undone, I'm a lost sinner. Repent of your sins, have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, be baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, become a recipient of new birth before it's too late. That's what life is all about. Don't waste your time worrying if the church is going through the tribulation. The Bible says it will not. Get busy for God and make your life count for him. And the next lesson will be Christ's government.
And we want to thank you, Ruth, for all that great information about the rapture wins. Amen. But right now, we're going to pause to hear about the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week. What you really want? The Six Eyes Radio Network.
Now that we're back, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. What is your least favorite angel story in all of Scripture? What is your least favorite angel story in all of Scripture? It's that time. It's open mic time. All right. And who do we got with us, Sister Ruth?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, you, Jim, and me.
All right. Well, considering he usually just likes to listen in, so I guess I'll start with you, and then I'll answer it. Question of the day. What is your least favorite angel story in all the Bible?
It's in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. How about the fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning? It's about Lucifer, the stupid dummy that decided to mess with God, and now he's Satan, and he's going to hell. So they used to be an angel.
Yep. I'd have to agree with that one. Or the second one I would have to say is the angel story. It kind of drawn out with the seven angels who had the seven last plagues. Because you don't get to know who those angels were. You just know they're the seven angels, the seven last plagues, and the seven last trumpets. You don't get to know who they are. You just know they're there.
Yeah, you got a good point, sweetheart. Yeah, they actually, you don't know their name. They're just an angel sounded and stuff like that.
Right. You don't know who they are, so it's kind of boring. You'd love to know who it was, but they're not identified. So, all right, Ruth, what we're going to do, since we'll keep it moving along, let you give us a closing prayer, and then we'll remind everybody to join us for the open programming tomorrow on Saturday, and then, of course, Sunday at 1 p.m. for the Sunday Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. So you want to give us closing prayer, and we'll end out with Red Sylvine.
All right, Lord, we love and praise your name. There's so many people that have lost someone lately. Our landlord, Regina, lost her father. Emily lost a lady named Shirley Nichols. Her last name was Nichols. Shirley Wolfgang died. Dave Wolfgang not long ago, and also Connie Pelton. So there's been quite a few already in the last few months that we've lost. So, Lord, just comfort all these people, because they're lost, these people, and they're in heaven, some of them, I believe. But it's just sad to see so many go at once. But, you know what you're doing, Lord, so you got mail, sweetheart, so you can help these people. And thank you for the program tonight, and hope everybody had fun. Love you, Lord. Amen.
Well, I had 2 weeks vacation coming, so I thought I'd drive down to Florida, spend some time with an old friend, date a few girls, make a few parties, and just kind of live it up again. So I packed up my car, and then I called my mom in Tennessee and told her what I'd planned to do. And she said, "Son, are you coming by?" And I said, "Mom, I'm really pushed for time. But honey, I'll see you in a week or two." And I was driving through this little town in Georgia when I remembered today is Mama's birthday. Well, I thought I'd just stop and wire some flowers. Shouldn't take too long, then I'd be on my way. So I walked in the flower shop, and the first thing I saw was this little boy with his eyes full of tears. And I said, "Son, what's wrong?" And he said, "Mama loves roses, and today's her birthday, and I haven't seen her in almost a year." Grandpa now, but I promised Mama some roses, because I talk to her all the time. I wanted to give her 5, because that's how old I am, but the lady said I couldn't buy them for just a dime. Well, the little feller's story kind of touched my heart, so I told the lady, just give him what he wanted and charge it to me. Well, that's when I told her to wire a dozen roses to my mama up in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. Well, I looked around, the little boy was gone. But all of a sudden, the door flew open and he came running back in. And he said, "Mister, I forgot to thank you for the roses." He smiled and shook my hand and ran back out again. Well, I started on out of town. And I was feeling real proud of myself for thinking of my mama and really caring. When I looked out my window, I saw that same little boy kneeling by a grave in an old cemetery. Well, I stopped my car and walked over to where the little boy was kneeling down. And he smiled up at me and he said, this is where my mama stays. She says she sure does thank you for these pretty roses. Well, that's when I had to walk away. And I drove right back to that flower shop and I said, lady, have you sent those flowers to Tennessee? And she said, no, not yet. And I said, well, just never mind. I'll just take them back with me.